Welcome to the Messy Walk Podcast with Pastor Adam Cook, where our goal is to have a genuine and authentic conversation about the Christian faith journey and what a messy walk with Jesus really looks like. Make sure to follow us for future episodes that will be posted regularly each Wednesday. We hope you enjoy this episode.
Hey, welcome to the Messy Walk Podcast. I'm your host, Steph, here at Pastor Adam.
Hey, hey.
Hey, hey, we're in the final episode.
Last one.
Of this series.
Yes. Oh, yeah, not of the podcast.
Let me just make sure I say
we're still
that.
Going forward on the podcast. We think, at least for now. The Lord hadn't told us to stop, so we're going to keep doing it.
And I'm just volunteering, so it's whatever he tells Pastor Adam.
But, yeah, we're continuing in the podcast. But we are done. This is the final one of our series. What's it called, Steph?
Things I Will Not Keep Apologizing For.
Yep, and this is number 8 in the series, last one. Mm-hmm. And this has been a cool series for me personally. Like I've said, the last couple of ones, you know, I'm just sharing things that I'm personally convicted that I'm not going to keep apologizing for as a pastor. And I have saved this one to the last. Steph, what is this one? This is episode 244, is that right?
Yeah, 244. I will not apologize for being me.
Yep, I will not apologize for being me. I decided to make this one the last one because honestly, it's the hardest one for me to talk about, really. Like, most of the rest of these have been pretty easy to talk about, but this one's kind of hard to talk about, and I feel like it needs to be said, and it will affect it. This one applies to everybody listening in every setting that you find yourself in. So this one's not just exclusive to pastoring. Like, the last episode, you know, I want to apologize about talking about preaching about sin. Might be one that's a little more specific to being a pastor, right? Or the one that I did a couple episodes ago on money, right? Mm-hmm. Talking about money. Or the one about preaching the Bible, right? You know what I mean? They might be a little bit more. Or all of them. But this one's very, this one can be, everybody can take something away from this one. Everybody, this makes sense to everybody. And so everybody's got stuff about their personality that they like, and then they got things that they're self-conscious about, right? And we're talking about personality, right? Like, you know, the way in which you do things, the way in which you talk, you know, all those kind of things. You know, the energy you bring to the room, you know, everybody's got stuff that they really like about themselves. And then some of us like more stuff about ourselves than others. and then you got...
What's that like?
But everybody also has stuff about themselves that they're self-conscious about, right? Some people have more of those things than other people do, right? Some folks are just naturally a little more confident in who they are, and some people are a little bit less. So there's this natural temptation that we all have to sort of accentuate the positive and then repress the supposed negative.
Uh-huh.
And we do that to ourselves, right? So that's not all coming from outside of other people. You know what I mean? Like, we're constantly doing that to ourselves. We like this about ourselves. We like the way that we think about this or handle this or whatever. And then there's this other stuff that we don't. And so we're constantly trying to accentuate the positive. That was a song on Sesame Street when I was a kid, accentuate the positive. And we're all trying to kind of suppress the supposed negative parts of our personality.
Uh-huh.
What's interesting is in ministry, personality is paid so much attention to.
It is.
It's like everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like everything. The personality of the preacher is like everything to people. It's the main thing they're paying attention to. It's the main thing that they're drawn to, right? Like I read this a long time ago, and we even talked about it when the church was first forming. You were there. We talked about the fact that people will follow the person long before they follow the vision, right? Attraction to personality is one of the main key things. And unfortunately, in the Western church, everything tends to be driven by the personality, a personality, right? Like, the church ends up centered around a personality instead of lots of times centered around Jesus, right?
Yeah.
It's centered around a personality. We talked about this a lot on one of these episodes. We talked about, I won't apologize for taking Sundays off, right? And it wasn't just about being off on Sundays. It was also about bringing in other voices, right? Mm-hmm. And lots of times people end up rejecting those things because they really are centered on a personality, right? They're really not following Jesus. They're following the pastor. But personality's everything. So when we talk about it in ministry, I think I know how to talk about this well because it's such a big thing, right? Personality is everything. Like, when you think about whether you like a preacher or not, you are almost always talking about their personality. Like, I like this guy. I like this guy because of the way he talks. I like the way he talks. Or I don't like this guy because I don't like the way he talks. I like this guy's humor, right? I don't like this guy's humor, right? It's all personality driven. I like the passion of this guy, the steadiness of this person, the aggressiveness, right? The intelligence, right? I like all these pieces, or I don't like these things. It's all driven around personality. And sometimes it isn't just said in the background, right? Sometimes it's actually said directly. I have two stories about this that really shaped me being able to say now, because this has been a long battle to be able to say now. I'm not going to apologize for being me. There's two really shaping stories. Before we ever started Union, I was at another church that was a good church. Everything was fine. You know, I learned a lot there, right? The majority of stuff I learned that we implemented at Union, I learned from there. But I had somebody there who tore me down a lot, right? And the tear down was constantly around things about my personality, right? Like, I was told there that I needed to change my accent, right? Which is almost an impossible thing. Have you ever tried to change your accent? I mean, it's impossible, right?
Right, except for when you try to do a British accent. But, you know, yeah.
And that don't work very good anyway, right? Wait, yeah. I mean, it's impossible, right? You just, when you talk, you're naturally talking. That's why you can't hear your accent.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's just a natural part of who you are, where you've been from, all the way that dialects are formed. You can't change it. And so I was told I needed to change it because I didn't sound as smart as I actually was. And I didn't sound like the people sounded. I had a different accent, and it made me sound dumb, so I needed to change my accent. I was told that directly, right? Mm. And so I tried to speak differently, which was futile and also, like, heart-wrenching. Like, it was rough. I was also told that I needed to dress differently, that my style, it wasn't about the clothes, it was about the style, right? Because what I was presenting was this country boy, dumb accent, and I was pairing it up with dressing like a country boy. You know what I mean? Like, and so I needed to change that too. You know, I needed to talk different, look different. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, I know what you mean.
And it was rough. It was really rough. And so I constantly found myself self-conscious about whether people thought I was smart, you know, how I sounded, how I pronounced things. It was like the first time in my life that I wasn't in middle school where I was worried about what I was wearing. You know what I mean? Like, I've never been the person who worried about what I wore, right? Ever, you know? And I found myself, you know, worried about that. Like, to me, that's stuff you worry about when you're a teenager. You know what I mean? I don't know.
Yeah.
And maybe not. You know, like, there's lots of people who still struggle with that now. They're very conscious about what they wear. I've just never been that person. And this really formed me in a negative way, right? It really made me sit around thinking, I wish I was somebody else in these ways, right? And so now let me try to be somebody else. Not that long ago, I had somebody say to my face. So that was a formative one for a long time ago, right? That was what I'm explaining to you right now was close to 20 years ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I still think about it constantly.
When
I go to pronounce certain words, so there's all kinds of times when I'm preaching, I'll use like some Greek words or some Hebrew words or whatever, and I'll have to look at the phonetic pronunciation to make sure that I pronounce it right, right? Because it's not normal language for me. And then I'll write out my phonetic. The phonetic way to say it, I'll write it out of my notes so I don't pronounce it wrong. But every now and then, I still pronounce it sort of wrong, right? And I hammer myself in the background about pronouncing it wrong, right? About that being so stupid. Like, I have not told a soul this, so get ready. I haven't told a soul this. On Easter Sunday, 3 or 4 years ago, I felt like we were called to do this series on our minds, right? The battle of the mind.
Mm-hmm.
And we kicked that off on Easter, and then we followed it up with like 3, 4, 5 weeks of this mind battle, right? And on Easter Sunday, I was talking about this particular part of the brain that I'd done research on and study on, right? And it was the amygdala. And the entire service, I pronounced it as amygdala. I kept saying it wrong. And after church was, and I knew it every time I'd say it. And after church was over, one particular person came up and said, "You pronounced it wrong. It's amygdala." I was like, "I know. I can't get it out of my head." Do you know that I've thought about that every single day since then, Steph? Every single day I've thought, "Oh, I can't believe I did that. Can't believe I pronounced that wrong. Can't believe I pronounced that wrong." And then it has stirred up in me what this person said to me years and years ago. I just can't get rid of it. Right. It's constantly going back to, I wish I wasn't like that. Right. I wish that part of my personality didn't exist, or that I was better at this or that, right? And then just recently, this is another formative one, I had someone say to me, "If you would just tone down your intensity, more people would be able to hear your message and your preaching and what you have to say better, because you're a real good preacher, and you do really good, and what you have to say is awesome. But if you would tone down your intensity, if you'd be less intense, then more people would be able to hear you." And that has really, I can't stop thinking about that either. Because it makes me go, "Man, I wish I wasn't so intense." Because I'm a very intense person, right? Very, very intense person. Always have been, right? And so both of these things have been said directly to me. And there's been others, of course, but these have been like quite formative that I just can't stop thinking about. It's like, I wish I could not be me, is what I end up thinking about in those moments. You know what I mean? Like, I am naturally an intense person. Now I'm going, "Man, if I wasn't as intense, maybe more people could hear it," or whatever, like this person has said to me. Those things, and I bet you everybody listening has had something like that happen, right? Multiple things where somebody has said something to you about a particular part of sort of who you are, how you were made.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then you end up walking around self-conscious about it, and then you're like trying to change who you really are. I bet you've had those experiences. Now, most of the time, though, so those are directly from folks. Most of the time, though, for most people, it's not somebody saying it directly to you, right? Nobody's looking at you going, "Be less you," right? But you feel it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you're in a crowd of folks. You're at a work settings are the worst for this. And you feel this. They're not looking at you going, all right, Steph, this is your review for the year. And the number one thing, I'm holding my papers up like I'm at a review. The number one thing that you need to do is be less you, right? They're not doing that, but you end up feeling it. You feel it in the room. You feel it in the feedback. You feel it in the silence. You feel it in the comparison, right? You just feel it. And you start to notice what gets celebrated, and you start to notice what is tolerated. Right? You start to notice the parts of people's personality get celebrated, and then you're like, "Oh, I'm not like that," right? "I need to be more like that." And then you notice what kind of gets tolerated, right? Not celebrated, just kind of tolerated. And then you're thinking, "Well, I don't want to be like that, because I'm apparently getting more tolerated than I am celebrated, so I need to change up who I am and my personality." You know what I mean? Like, that's how it usually plays out.
You know what you're making me think of? A lot of people who are neurodivergent, they're going to really relate to this.
Absolutely.
The feeling like they always have to mask. And
Yes.
So
absolutely.
You're making me think of that.
And so you start to notice these things. So it's not like, most of the time this isn't said to you. You know what I mean? Like, I'm telling you a few things that were said to me directly, but most of the time that I felt this, it's been felt in the background. And I think a lot of people feel that way. And what happens is that, and you need to understand that what I'm sharing with you is something I've been processing through myself, right, for a long time. Slowly, you begin to adjust who you are. You begin to adjust your personality. Mm-hmm. You begin to tone it down or tone it up or whatever it is that you feel like is missing that's not hitting the mark of what everybody else is expecting. You start to kind of change it. And you change it not out of conviction, but you're changing it out of caution, right? If you're changing something, we just talked about this in the last episode.
Yeah.
If you're changing something out of conviction, that's a different story. But what you're really doing here is you're changing it out of caution. You start to lower your voice. You start to hold back the way that you process emotions, right? You start to filter your intensity. You start to become more measured. You start to become more contained, whatever it is, right? You start to filter it out. Like, I am a person who cries.
So am I.
I cry, right? Mm-hmm. I cry every day somehow or another.
Me too.
It may be a song that comes on the radio. It might be a prayer. It might be I am pissed off and it's frustration.
Yep.
But I'm going to throw a tear down, right? It's just going to happen.
And it's not going to be one tear.
It's going to happen, right? It's going to happen, right?
I feel
and
that.
And when I preach, I cry every single time.
Yeah.
Right? And it's one of those things where I'll even feel myself trying to hold it back, right? Because I don't want to appear like this big crybaby. You know what I mean?
Well, if it helps, it does not come across that way as someone who's in the crowd.
Yeah, you know, but I'm just not going to hold it back. But that's just, you know what I mean? So what happens is over time, you start to sort of hold these things back, right?
You're right.
Like, and you start to contain, you start to try to change who you are. Like that whole idea of me being intense, then I'm now paying attention to it. I'm trying to change my natural intensity, which is really hard to do, right? Your natural intensity of how you are is, or the way in which you respond to things, the way in which you get excited or not, like the tear part. It's almost as impossible to change as your accent is, right? It's just kind of a deep-centered piece of who you are. And none of those things that we're talking about are sinful things, right? We're not talking about sinful stuff. We're just talking about uniquely who you are. Like, uniquely, apparently, me and Steph are criers, and that's just uniquely who we are. Ain't nothing sinful about that.
Right.
And if we speak with a country accent, that's just naturally who we are because of where we were raised and what we were around. That's
not going
to
change.
That's not something that's sinful. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But you end up feeling this need to sort of slowly adjust who you are. And at first, when you first do this, right? And I'm talking about how I've dealt with it. At first, you're picking up on all these vibes, right?
Yeah.
And you're going, all right, I need to do this differently, I need to do this different. At first, it feels like you're being wise. It feels like wisdom, right? Well, I'm wisely reading the room, and I'm at work, and I'm wisely figuring out how I need to be and who I need to be. It starts to feel like wisdom. Like you're being wise. But over time, it turns into you disappearing and not being who God made you to be, right?
That's so good.
That's what it turns into over time.
Yeah,
right?
That's a good point.
And it sort of is disguised as, well, let me be wise and read the room. Let me be wise and figure out who my boss wants me to be.
Let me blend in.
Right. Let me chameleon. I just preached on chameleon last night at youth. To a bunch of teenagers.
Wow.
About, you know, blending in, yep. Right? Over time, though, what happens is you as a person disappear. And that's not good because that's you not being who God made you to be. And God didn't put you in whatever setting that is in. Let's just go back to work. We'll just stick at work. If God has put you there in that job, he has not put you there not to be who you are, right? He has brought you there to be who you are. And so if you're going to fight for anything, you need to fight to be who you are. Not to fight to blend in with everybody else. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, but at first it feels like wisdom that you're doing that, right? But eventually over time, it's just you and I sort of disappearing. And then there comes a point where you have to make a decision. And I feel like I got to this point years ago, right? I'm still fighting it all the time. Like I told you before, I think about those moments constantly.
Yeah.
I can't get them out of my head. Like I have thought about that amygdala thing every day since it happened. I walk around going, you're so stupid. I can't believe you mispronounced that word. You know what I mean? Like I constantly am thinking of that.
It doesn't look like the way you'd pronounce it anyway, but keep going.
You know what I mean? Yeah. But I'm like, oh, it's so stupid, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm sure that it doesn't make any difference, but I can't stop thinking about it. But there becomes a point where you have to decide, you got to make a decision. Am I going to spend my whole life and all my energy managing people's perceptions of me, of how I talk and how I act and how emotional I am and how my intensity and what I get excited about.
From wearing the right thing.
Right, from wearing the right clothes.
Yeah.
Am I going to spend I'm almost spend my whole stinking life managing all these perceptions, or am I going to, this is where we got to land, or am I going to steward who I actually am?
Ooh, that's good.
I'm going to steward who
I am.
That's
really good.
You are not, listen to me, you are not called to be someone else. You are called to be the refined version of who God actually made you uniquely to be, right? The refined version.
Yeah.
Right? If you're going to spend your time on who you are and your personality, you're going to allow the Holy Spirit to refine who he made you to be. Just like you refine a metal is you begin to take out the impurities of it so it becomes perfectly purely what it is, right? So when you're refining gold, you're taking out the parts that aren't gold and refining it down into a real gold. So you and I aren't called to be somebody else. We're called to be this refined part of who we really are, right? And so what God wants to do in my life is the same thing he wants you to do in yours. He wants to remove all the stuff that's not uniquely you and refine you down to who you really are and who you've been uniquely made to be, right? And he's the one who knows what you've been made to be more than you know what you've been made to be, because he's the creator of you, right? The creator is the one that tells the thing that's created what it is, not the other way around. You know what I mean? Like, the creator knows what they made. You ever had a little kid give you a thing that they made for you, and they give it to you, and you're like, oh, this is beautiful. What is it? You know what I mean? Like, what is this thing? Mm-hmm. And then they're like, oh, it's this. And you're like, oh, okay. See, the kid knows exactly what it is. You don't, right? The creator knows what they made. You don't. And so what God is trying to do in us is to refine us down to who he's truly made us to be, right? So it's not to be somebody else. It's not to blend in. It's not to be a chameleon. It's for you to be refined down into who you really are supposed to be, who he made you to be. And so for me, that has meant accepting some stuff, right? I have to accept some stuff to be able to be refined into it, right? And the stuff I have to accept is like this. Not everybody's going to resonate with me, right?
Yeah.
And it's okay. Because if I'm trying to make everybody resonate with me, then I am not stewarding me well, because that's not going to happen. That's just me being a chameleon in every setting, trying
You'll
to get
never
every
flourish,
right.
Yeah.
I have to start accepting that not everybody's going to prefer my style, right? Not everybody's going to like that style. Not everybody's going to want somebody who is real intense. And I'm talking as a pastor, right?
Yes.
But you can apply this to whatever. Not everybody's going to resonate with my style, and that's all right. Not everybody's going to understand my passion. You know what I mean? They're not going to get it. And that's okay. If I sit around going, all right, well, let me adjust my passion so that more people get it. Let me adjust my style so more people get it. Let me adjust who I am so that more people resonate with me. Then all I am doing is the exact opposite of what I just said do, right? Now I'm just adding in more stuff to be somebody I'm not. And that's not the goal. That's not what God wants me to do. Right? I have to come to grips with those things if I'm going to make the decision that I'm not going to spend my whole life trying to manage all everybody's perceptions of me. Instead, I'm going to try to steward me, right? I'm going to steward the personality that God has given me, and I'm going to steward it well. So you're not stewarding the personality that God has given you if you're constantly trying to change it to fit somebody else's personality, right?
That's true.
You're not stewarding it well at all. And that's our goal, right? Like, we don't own, what if we really believe this about our personalities? We don't own anything, right? You and I came into this world naked. We will die and leave naked. That mm-hmm. means with nothing.
Yeah.
And everything that we have, everything that we do, everything that we are, is us just stewarding God's, like, we're God's. So it's the same thing with our personality. I mean, if you looked at it with, like, with your money, like, it's not yours, it's God's, I'm just stewarding it. Well, it's the same thing with our personality. It's not mine, it's God's. I'm made for God. So I'm just stewarding the personality that he's made in me. That's all I'm doing. And that's all that we're called to do, is just steward it. And you for sure aren't stewarding it well if you and I are just trying to change to fit into what everybody else wants us to be, right? If we are constantly thinking about what other people want us to be, then we for sure are not thinking about who God wants us to be, right?
Yeah, you're right.
And that's a problem. That's an issue. When we started Union, I had this very direct conversation with God. It might be one of the most direct conversations ever. And I felt like he told me something, and I felt like I told him one thing in return, one thing. I'll never forget this. If you want to hear how Union got started, go back and listen to the first four verses. I mean, first four verses, like it's a song. First four episodes of the podcast. They're not the recording's not very good, but go listen to the first four
episodes. It. Yeah.
And you'll get the story, right? So I'm not going to share the whole story. But when we decided to start Union, it came out of a bunch of hurt, right? And when me and Valerie sat down to finally do it, and it kind of came out, it was an IHOP, right? Me and Valerie ended up having breakfast, lunch, and dinner in IHOP. We never left. Aiden was a little bitty baby. Valerie's nursing him in the seat for like 9 hours. And when we left, we decided to jump off the cliff and start the church. And when we drove there separately, I had this very direct conversation with God that I'll never forget. And it was like, do you really want me to do this? If this is what you want me to do, I'll do it. And it was also this conversation of, I knew my whole life we were going to do it, and yet I didn't all at the same time. You know what I mean? And I felt like he told me some things, and I told him some things. And here's what he told me in that direct conversation. Yes, I want you to do it, and I need you to be you. Right?
Wow.
You need to be you. And I felt like he was... I felt like he was reaching down into my... See, I'm crying today. Here's my cry already.
I understand.
You already did one,
I cried earlier.
Here's my... You know, he said to my soul, he said, you're going to talk like you talk. You're going to dress like you dress. Right?
Oh, that's nice.
And this is what he said to me, Steph. I swear to you. He says, these are my people. Right? Because we planted in our backyard. You know what I mean? Like, we planted where we're from. And you, he says, he looks at me and he says to me in that moment, leaving IHOP, he says, I have made you exactly for this. So you got to be you, right? Be you. And then my thing that I said back to him was, this is all that happened. I heard him and I said, I promise you I won't quit, right? So no matter what, I won't quit. No matter what. Because, see, I just quit, right?
Yeah.
So I'd spent a year where I said, screw this. I'm not done with Jesus, but I'm done with this calling. I'm done with pastoring. I can't take this no more. I'm done. All my mentors had gone crazy or killed themselves or, I mean, it was just crazy stuff. And I was done. And I said to him, all right, I promise you I will not quit. That's what happened. And I really feel like he was telling me, I want you to be you. So in return, you know, 14 years later, what I bring to the table now is one thing and one thing only, and it's authenticity.
Yeah, right? You do.
Authenticity.
You and Valerie.
That's really it. You are going to get authentically who I am, what I'm going through, how I talk, how I dress. That's what you're going to get, right?
Yeah.
If you see Adam Cook in a suit and you ain't getting married, you better check your pulse because somebody's dying. Because if I'm in a suit, it's because we had a funeral or a wedding. Otherwise, that ain't who I am, right? That ain't who I am. If you see me in a collared shirt, it's because I had a meeting that day where I had to kind of look like a real pastor outside of my setting, right?
Yeah.
But I'm going to look like I look. I'm going to dress like I dress. And I'm going to speak like I speak.
Yeah.
And I'm going to think like I think. And I'm going to cry like I cry.
Amen.
Right? And if you don't like it, then I don't care, right?
Yeah.
I just don't care. All I'm bringing to the table now from that conversation with the Lord, and he's still working on me. Like, I'm sitting here sharing with you that I still think about those statements all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
You can still think about it. But I mean, you ain't going to, you know.
And they still are affecting
forward.
Me, right?
Yeah.
Like, they're constantly, I feel like the enemy's teasing me with them all the time, right? But I'm going to be authentic.
Right.
You know, that's what I'm going to bring to the table. And that is what has come from this decision to steward myself well, right? There is a quiet freedom, and it's very quiet. It's under the surface. Nobody even knows it. Nobody sees it. There's this quiet freedom that comes when you stop apologizing for your wiring, right?
Ooh.
When you stop apologizing. Now, obviously, we're not talking about sinful stuff.
Right.
Right? But when you stop apologizing for who and how God made you to be and interact, your personality, right, your intensity, the way you talk, all those things, right, there is this quiet freedom that comes upon your soul, right? Like, I feel like now that I can look at the Lord and say, not just I'm stewarding your church well, I'm stewarding your finances well, I'm stewarding my money well. I can look at him and say, I'm stewarding my personality well, right? Because there's this freedom that comes with it. If you have ever felt, we'll land this plane because I got to go get a kid, I think. If you have ever felt like you were too much, which is usually how I felt, or you felt like you were not enough, or both things at the same time.
Ain't that crazy? Yeah.
Let me say this very clearly to you. You are not called to become somebody else. You are called to become the best refined version of who God created you to be. So we grow, right? We change, and we let the Lord refine us, but we don't abandon who we are, right? The world does not need more imitation, right? It needs more authenticity. That's what it really needs, more authenticity. And let me tell you something, too. That is what is being craved right now, right? what is being craved. You know what's happening in the social media world right now is that several years ago, everything was centered around influencers, right? Mm-hmm. Everything. That world is shifting like crazy, right? Influencers are out, right? And what is in now is real, authentic people being themselves, right? Yeah. That's what's in. And so what was happening before is all these companies were using influencers for their products.
Yeah.
Right?
To market.
Right.
Yep.
That's what they were doing. And if you will go look and pay attention now, you will see that it has shifted completely. And now all these companies are using authentic, real people online to sell their products, right? Because they already know. Like these companies, they know, they figured it out. They figured out that what's hot now, what's in, what people are craving is not this perfect, polished influencer. What people are craving is real, authentic life and people. And the church needs to go, hallelujah, because that's what we're really good at. That's what we're supposed to be really good at in the church. What we're supposed to be really, really good at is being authentic and real, right? And that's a good thing. And that's what you're seeing. So in the where people are seeking faith in Christ, right? The people that are, you know, the way the Holy Spirit is drawing people to be saved. It is the draw now for churches, the churches that are doing this well, right? The communities that are doing this well are the ones that are real authentic in who they are, right? They're not copycat. What was the word? Cookie cutter, uh-huh. Right? It's not all the same. It's authentic and real. That's what's happening. And it's a big shift. Lean into the shift. Be somebody who is authentic. I don't think authenticity will ever run out of style. And it's because it's what God really made us to be, right? If you take one thing away from this whole series, here it is. Like, be the refined, let the Lord refine you in who he's made you to be, which means he's going to constantly be taking out the stuff that's not who you are.
Right? Yeah.
And let him refine who he's made you to be, and then you be that person. And this is the way I feel about it now. I'm going to be me. I'm going to be authentic. And let the chips fall where they fall. Right? Some people are going to like it. Some people ain't.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Some people are going to follow it. Some people ain't. Some people are going to resonate with it. Some people ain't. Oh, well. Right? Be you. If you're going to fight anything, fight to be who you are in those settings, not fight to fit in. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, this is a good one to end on.
Yeah. I don't even know what to say.
I don't either. I feel like crying again.
Honestly, when I leave here, I'm probably going to cry about it going down the road, y'all. Straight up.
But everybody's experienced this.
Yeah.
I just thought it was the best one to end on. And matter of fact, this is the one I've been thinking about through the whole series. I've been thinking about the main thing that I feel like, you know, if I had to tell you, like, this is the one that I've had a conversation with the Lord about, right? You
know what I mean? Yeah.
Like this is the one where I've directly heard from the Lord say, you are going to be you, right? You're going to be you. Anyway.
Well, we're really glad that y'all joined us for this whole series.
Yes.
And took something out of it. You know, I hope y'all took something out of it, applied it, and don't be afraid to re-listen.
Absolutely. And there's people all the time that'll be listening months and months in the future. Mm-hmm. So I just talked to somebody today and they were like, man, I'm so behind on the podcast. I ain't listening in like 6 months. I was like, well, the good thing is it's still out there and it's still free. So
yeah. Also, maybe you're not behind, actually.
Yeah. Maybe it's not. Why does it have to be something?
It's not a race.
Yeah. And why does it have to be something that we follow when it comes out? Right. You know what
exactly.
I mean?
Exactly.
This ain't a TV show. All right. So this ain't, you know. This ain't Yellowstone or whatever it is.
But right? Even with TV shows, you rewatch them.
Yeah, who cares, right?
Let's go.
Who cares? But yeah, we'll be back next week with something else. We just don't know exactly what it is yet. We'll figure it out.
Yep. And we look forward to it.
Yep.
Talk to y'all soon.
See you later. Bye.
Thank you for joining us on the Messy Walk Podcast with Pastor Adam Cook. Make sure to follow us for future episodes that will be posted regularly each Wednesday. Have a good day.